We're so thankful that we can sing that song, I'm a child of God. Someone, thank you, sir, needed to hear that today. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. You're not who you think you are. You're who He says you are. Amen? If I were to ask how many of you have done something in your past, it's a lot of us. If you have something you regret, shame, regret, sadness, the reality is a lot of us focus on those things even after we've been forgiven. I've said it before, even in this series, but let me say it again. You are not what you have done. You are who He is making you to be. God offers you new life in Him. You are who He says you are. Let's pray. Father God, even now as we get ready to open the Word of God and hear from You, my prayer is that we could know that that's true. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank You for Your grace, for Your mercy, for Your work in our lives. Father, my prayer is that for the next few moments You would speak to us through Your Word. Lord, don't use it to stir emotions in us. Use it to change us radically, to make us more like You. I pray that every person in this room would leave with this character attribute in their life that we will study together. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, welcome to week 5 of the Red Letter Challenge. Today is day 29 of this 40-day journey to put the words of Jesus into practice. Much of what Jesus calls and commands and asks His disciples to do, us, you, and me, can be summarized in 5 key principles. These are the 5 targets that we are shooting for to live out over these 40 days. Every week we've been asking you to say them with us, so please do so again today. They'll be on the screen. Say these out loud with us. Being, forgiving, serving, giving, and going. Today we will focus on giving. Who's excited about a message on giving? Okay, I'm glad somebody is. A lot of churches, I've been places where they say, that's all the church ever talks about is giving. The reality is we don't have a lot of messages about this. Probably not as many as we should. Why? Because generosity and giving is such an important part of the scriptures. Out of all the principles that we are talking about over these weeks in this challenge, this is the one Jesus said the most about. He talks more about this idea than He does love, more about this idea than He does heaven, and more about this idea than He does hell, all combined. In fact, you won't find in the New Testament where Jesus says more about anything except the kingdom of God. So what is it about today? Money and possessions. A life of generosity. If you were to go back and look for yourself, you'll see that 16 of the 38 parables of Jesus dealt with this topic. 16, that's a lot to be on one topic, money and possessions. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, an amazing 1 out of every 10 verses, 1 out of every 10 in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John deal with the idea of money or possessions. That's 288 verses, depending on which translation you use. 288 verses. Now, why would Jesus talk so much about money? Why would He talk so much about giving and a lifestyle of generosity? Here's why I believe it is the truth, and it's this. It's a statement found in the Red Letter Challenge, but I believe it with all my heart. It is impossible to be a stingy Christian. Now, somebody needs to say amen or oh my. It's impossible to be a stingy Christian. Now, you may say, well, I know some. Well, I don't know if you do or not. When we are radically transformed by Jesus, when we are truly following Him, we will live a life of generosity. Now, the overall overwhelming objection to this idea is this. I've heard it before. But Chris, I have so much debt. I have so many bills. I can't be generous with my finances. Or Chris, I can't possibly give anything to the Lord or His church. I just don't have the margin. Hear me say this, very important. Living paycheck to paycheck is normal in our society. High debt loads are normal in our society. Difficult monthly payments are normal in our society. But normal isn't working. normal does not work. And whoever said a spirit-filled Christian life is a normal life anyway? There's nothing normal about living by the pattern of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. So there are exceptions to what I'm about to say. But for the most part, hear my heart. Our wants as people with the American dream, believers trying to live the life God's called us to right here in America, our wants have outranked our needs. Now, there's exceptions to that, but for the most part, that's true. And our American dream mindset has clouded the eternal perspective we find in the Bible and in God's Word. So before we dig into two important scriptures about this, let me share with everybody here and those who are watching online or listening on the radio an important truth that is true for you and for me. Now, we've got some friends who watch this from other places in the world, friends of our ministry here, but if you're in the United States and you're in Alabama or you're anywhere in the States and you're watching this online, listening on the radio or right here today, this is true for you. Here's the truth. If you're writing things down, write down these three words. We are rich. We're rich. Andy Stanley said it this way a few years ago in a book. He said, it's funny. Rich people are in denial. And normally we are not in denial about things we know. For instance, tall people admit that they're tall. David Vincent, you know it's true, all right? So short people admit that they're short. Me, Dr. Davis, we know it's true, okay? Both of us, I know it, okay? Athletic people admit that they're athletic. Artsy people admit that they're artsy. Introverts don't even mind telling you they're introverts very quietly. And extroverts cannot wait to tell you they're an extrovert. Where's Justin when you need him? I mean, he's actually working children's church today, and we're thankful for that, for him being back there serving faithfully today. But he's an extrovert, if you didn't know. So, like, they really need to tell you that. But when it comes to rich people, listen, we won't admit it. We live in denial. But here's the statistics. Don't miss this. Don't raise your hands for this. If you make $40,000 a year in your family, you're in the top 4% of the world's population. That's an amazing statistic. If you make over $48,000 a year, you are a top 1% of earners in the world. Just $48,000. We enjoy a quality of life that few in history have ever experienced. Listen, here's the truth. In our country, for the most part, our biggest concern is not starvation, it's weight loss. I mean, you think about that. I'm so glad. I have been all over the world to meet with people, to teach people on mission trips. I have loved that. I have friends on multiple continents and that live lives vastly different from ours. They don't get American television, and I'm glad, because I would be so embarrassed if they were to see our commercials, because it would be so foreign and strange to them to see our commercials clouded with weight loss products, because they don't have that issue, with home improvement commercials, with credit card commercials. That doesn't make sense to people who live in other parts of the world. We're very, very blessed. Now, why do I tell you all this? I don't tell you all this because I want you to feel bad. Hear me, this is important. I don't want you to feel bad. I want everyone in here to feel blessed. I want you to realize that you and I are blessed, amen? Can we start with that agreement? If you're blessed, raise your hand. All right, it should be everybody in the room. We are blessed. But sometimes here in America, we forget. Recently, there was an athlete, I won't mention him by name, who was talking about his contract negotiations. And this is what he said, and I'm not making this up. He said, it's hard to live on $14.6 million. This is what he said. He said, why would I want to help my team win a title? They're not doing anything for me. I'm at risk. I have a lot of risk here. I've got to feed my family. Now, if you take out his taxes, he'll pay a lot more taxes than any of us. That's okay. You take out his taxes, he still has the money to take his wife and his children to McDonald's. Would you agree? But if you do the math, he can buy each of his kids a McDonald's franchise. And he can still have 11 McDonald's franchises for himself. He's lost touch with reality. But here's the mind-blowing part of that. This same man who said he can't hardly feed his family. Don't miss this. He could feed 8.3 million people for a day off of his earnings. But this is the most amazing one. If you look at a sub-Saharan African village, that's in the poorest of the poorest area of Africa, he could feed an entire village of 400 people. Don't miss this. Off of 1 year's salary, he could feed an entire village of 400 people for 56 years. Now, what's happened to him, his American dream has become an American delusion. But let's not give him too hard of a time. Most of us don't understand those kind of numbers, but let's bring it down to what we know and who we are. Hear this. The average American gives around 2% of their income to charity of any kind. A church, another nonprofit, someone in need, disaster relief. The average American gives around 2% of their income to charity. Sadly, though, there is only a slight increase for what average Christians give versus just average Americans. So Christians give an average of 2.5% of their income to charity and charitable causes. Statistics, they are all across the board say the same thing from different organizations that do reputable studies. Only 10 to 20% of church attenders tithe. And 37% of regular church attenders do not give at all. Now, here's what you need to know. I've not looked at your giving record. I don't know what anybody in this room gives. I don't know what anybody listening on the radio, watching online gives to their church. I have no idea. So when I ask this question, I ask it in total honesty, not knowing the answer. And that is this. Where do you land in these statistics? Would your bank statement scream generosity or something else? Would your bank statement show you to be a follower of Jesus or someone or something else? Let's look at a couple of scriptures together. Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Remember, we're rich. We're blessed. God has blessed us. So now let's look at these scriptures in light of that. This is a well-known story in Luke 21 about a woman who had lost her husband, but she continued to live a life of generosity. Look at verse 1. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. Your translation might say two mites. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." Now, we've heard the story of the widow's mites. We've heard this story, but don't miss this. If you were to adjust for inflation and adjust for price of coins, best we can come up with is this, that what she gave that day, 2,000 years ago, in today's economy would be worth about a nickel, 5 cents. But now, don't miss this. We are still telling this woman's story 2,000 years later. Why in the world is that? Because she lived a generous life. It wasn't about the amount. It was about what was going on in her heart and what was flowing out of her heart through her hands. There was worship in her sacrifice. And heaven took notice of that. And it ended up in God's word. And so now countless thousands upon thousands upon thousands, millions and millions of people have heard the story of her gift of what would roughly be 5 cents. Friends, don't tell me you can't give. It's an act of worship that she taught us how to live it out. So here's my question for you today. Answer it in your mind. Has your generosity been noticed in heaven? Has your generosity, has my generosity been noticed in heaven? If it's just a lot of money with a bunch of zeros, I don't know. If it's a gift from the heart, that the head made the decision to make, that the heart made the decision to follow through on, and the hands lived out as an act of worship, then quite frankly, I believe, yes, it is noticed in heaven. Second scripture, really quickly, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. This is the final scripture we'll look at today, Matthew 6, 19. It says this, Jesus again speaking, it would be red letters in the scripture. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I love that passage. It tells us that all these possessions we have, all of our money, the things we own, all of our resources, they're amoral. They're not good or bad, but we do something with them. We lay them up as treasures on earth and they will be destroyed, or we lay them up as treasures in heaven and where moth and rust do not destroy, and it says that our heart will follow suit and have more of a desire for heaven is what it's telling us. We can live that way. There's a quote from Randy Alcorn. He says this, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. That's pretty good. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You can invest in something eternal. Listen to me say this. You know it already, so it's a simple truth today. Treasures on earth will rust. Investment in eternity will last. So are you and I living our lives to be sure to invest in eternal things on a consistent basis? Now, that doesn't mean you should never have something that's being spent on earthly things. You're going to eat. You need shelter over your head. You need to provide for your family. I'm not by any means saying not to do that, but I'm saying on a constant, regular basis, are you and I making an investment in eternal things, things that far outweigh what's going to happen on this earth today, this week, this month, or even this life. Now notice the last part of this verse. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What does that mean? It doesn't say where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. It says where your treasure is, your heart will be also. It's the opposite of what seems to make sense in our minds. You would think that if you're passionate about something, you'll give to it. But what the scripture says, if you give to something, you'll become passionate about it. Don't miss that. It's an important truth here. So for someone to say, well, I'm just not passionate about sharing the gospel with the world, if I'm being totally honest, I got other things on my mind. Listen, I want to encourage you to invest your resources, your time, your talents, and your treasures, and you'll develop a passion for that. We have a heart for things that we invest in. Our heart follows our treasure. I wrote a few things down. If you want more of a passion for the Lord, then give your time and your talents and your treasure to His work, and your passion for Him will grow 100%. Guaranteed. You want a passion for shopping? Then give more of your time to going to Target and visiting Amazon.com. The more you're there, the more you're going to want to do it. 100% guaranteed. You want a passion for God's people? Invest your time and your resources in being around God's people and being invested in making them more like Christ, and you'll have more of a passion for them. Listen, to hear me say this. If you want your kids to have a greater passion for Jesus, bring your kids to church. Amen? You want your kids to have a greater passion for things of the Lord? Let them see you serve and serve alongside them. You want your kids to have a half-hearted passion to the Lord? Show up once every 4 or 5 weeks. Amen or oh my. It's the truth. They will learn from us. But the next generation will take what we have done in habit and they will multiply it even greater. That's the reality. That's in the good ways and the bad. So if you want to deepen a certain passion for a specific calling or people group, be generous with that group of people. Can I share with you a little bit about Lily and myself? And I debated whether to talk about this because this is not a way for the pastor to subconsciously tell you, see, I tithe, look at me. That's not what I mean. I assume you would expect your pastor to get tithe, okay? So we'll get that. I don't need to be your pastor. I'm not qualified. I would be disqualified to be your pastor if I wasn't faithfully giving to the work here. That's just, I believe that from scripture without a doubt. So here's what I would tell you. Lily would be okay with me saying this as well. She and I, we've not always made the wisest of choices with our finances. We are imperfect at best in this area. There have been times we've had debt and then we'd have no debt. Then somehow we have some debt again and then no debt. And the debt again and no debt. And so we've not been perfect. We have wants and desires, things we would like. We have a long list of things we'd love to have right now that just don't fit in the plan of things at this moment. But I can tell you this, we have made a commitment as a family that we will invest monthly in the kingdom of God by tithing to this church. It's going to happen. It does not fail. We do not miss. We have made a commitment that we will give to the advanced 2020 offering every single month above and beyond that. Why? Because we believe in our missionaries and we want to be a part of what they're doing. And then we have personally, even though it's not that we have tons of money or resources, but we've made a commitment as individuals to different ministries that are important to us and that we believe in, that we, above and beyond advance, we support individually. Now, we could take that money and do different things with it for ourselves, but I'll be honest with you. I'm happy to do it, and here's why. This is why it means so much to me. My money can go places I can't. My money can go places I can't go. Listen, your money can go places you can't. When Lily and I were serving as church planters in New England, we had to raise our own support. We started with just a little bit of funds from the North American Mission Board, and then we had to raise all the rest of our monies to live in a place that's very expensive to live. The cost of living was very high there. And what was amazing was how many, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody in this room, but how many people in this room some 16, 17 years ago made a commitment monthly to give. You didn't tell everybody what you did. You made a monthly commitment to help us as church planting missionaries be where we were. Now, you couldn't move to Maine. You couldn't move to where there's 110 inches of snow every single winter. You couldn't move to be there in the place that we were, but we could. And so what you did by investing in us as individuals is you sent your money to places you could not go. You invested in eternal things. And I can't thank you enough for that. I can't thank you enough for what you did, for how you made a difference in our lives. And it challenges and inspires us to do the same for other people. I don't know about you. I would love to go on mission to where every one of our missionaries serve. If I could, I'd spend 15, 20 weeks a year traveling and serving the Lord on mission different places. But I can't, neither can you. But my money and my act of worship can go where I cannot always go, and it has an eternal impact. Now listen, friends, God's blessed you just like he's blessed me. So the real question is, did God bless us so that we could spend it all on ourselves? Or did he bless us so that we could be a blessing to others? As we started this Red Letter Challenge week, the way our weeks run, the new week of topic begins on a Friday. And so as that began this week and we moved into the giving week, those of you that are caught up in reading with us know as you begin that process, it asks you to do something for someone that can't do for themselves. It asks you to do different things like that. I want to share with you a quick testimony from one person in our church that I received permission to talk about. I'm not going to give any names like that, but I want you to see how God works when we just say yes to living a generous life. This person said that she normally would have some funds with her but didn't have them and felt the Lord basically leading for her to go and get $200 out of the bank. So she did. Had cash in her purse. She also felt led to go to the grocery store, which she does not normally do on this day. She did. She was getting some groceries and she meets a lady there. A lady who has suffered from a brain condition and had her tumor removed and just asked a question needing some help. And so they had a little conversation, and babe, it was just a moment of encouragement, but that was it. Moved on, got her groceries, and when she got to the checkout line, she could see the lady, so she said she knew what God was doing. So she asked the lady to come and get in line behind her, and then she paid for her groceries, and then she paid for the groceries of the lady behind her. But here's the thing. She had $200, and her groceries were $57. And when the lady had put all her groceries through, they were $147. And that left $3 for the bag boy, because everybody should tip the bag boy, right? So, and how good God was, and all that just worked out just perfectly. And she was obedient to the Lord. So that's wonderful and great. And they get to the parking lot and the lady says to her, "Can I tell you something?" And she said, "I have been with my health, but I'm also raising my grandchildren. And things are very, very tight. And so I didn't know if I had enough money to get groceries today, but we needed groceries. And so I prayed and felt the Holy Spirit say, just go get groceries. And you have been the answer to me. You see how God answers prayers? Friends, do you realize just a simple yes that starts with God telling you to go take money out of the ATM can turn into you being the answer to someone else's prayer that they've been praying? Now, what all does that require? It requires some steps of obedience. It's not about $147. It's not what I'm saying. It's about a step of obedience that when God speaks, you'll say yes. And then when God opens a door, you'll be generous. And then when God responds, you'll take that opportunity to give him glory. Listen, friends, if that doesn't excite you, that's one little story that happened this week. But we could live that story over and over again. You see, this idea of generosity, I'm not telling you that just because I want you to give the money to the church. Not a dime of that happened for the church. That was about the kingdom of God. That was about God at work and God working in the hearts of a couple of different individuals, and he received glory from that. What a blessing that is. Friends, will you live a life of generosity? Randy Alcorn, in his book about called The Treasure Principle, wonderful little book, tells a little illustration. I've used it before, but it's worth repeating. He says, imagine yourself that you work for FedEx. And so you go to the FedEx distribution center and you back your truck up and they fill it with all kinds of stuff for people. And you take it and you drive away. And instead of making those deliveries, instead you go to your house, you back into your driveway, you raise your garage door, you open up the back door of the truck, and you unload all that FedEx stuff into your own home for you to use yourself. Now, what would happen? Well, one, you'd lose your job. Two, you'd probably go to jail. But you would definitely lose your job. Why? Because your job's to be the delivery person, not the consumer. And then he goes on to say, now this is much like life for us. God has blessed us with resources abundant, more than we could ever begin to think about. So why in the world would we think that God has done all of that just so that we could back up to our own garage and unload it on our own lives and spend it all on ourselves? Friends, don't miss this. It's important theologically. You and I, we're the delivery men and women. The things that you've been blessed with, yes, you get to enjoy part of that. That's wonderful. But don't think for a moment that God has blessed you with all you have just so you can spend it all on yourself. We get to deliver his blessing to the community, to the world, to the kingdom of God. So may my family live as generous, open-handed people this week. May you live as a generous, open-handed person this week. And may we begin to learn what it means that we're never more like Jesus than when we give. We're never more like Jesus than when we serve. We can be generous and we can live the life he's called us to. So what is the next step for us today? What are we asking you to do with this idea? If you're a guest here today, I do want you to come back because we don't always talk just about giving. But it's important that you understand that part of living the life of Jesus is to be generous with our lives. So here's what I'm asking every person in the room to consider to do today. First of all, would you make a bold commitment? Some of you, it won't be bold because you're already doing it, but for others, it'll be a big deal. Will you make a bold commitment to tithe, to give a tenth of everything you have the entire month of October to the local church? Now, if you're a guest, go give it to your own church. But if not, give it here so that we can use those resources for the kingdom. Will you commit for 1 month, if you've not been tithing regularly, that you will be faithful to do so, to give, to be obedient, to do what God has called you to do? Secondly, would you commit every person in this room to live a generous life every single day? Every day this week. Every day for the next 11 days that you and I will commit, or this study, that you and I will commit to live generous and open-handed, that we will look for ways to be a blessing to someone else. Now, there's two ways we're going to give you to be a blessing today really quickly, and here they are. Now, you're not prepared for one of these, but you are the other. Let's start with the great grocery giveaway. Today's challenge, day 29, was to give food to someone in need. Now, we knew months ago this day was coming. So that's why we set up and planned for the great grocery giveaway. Many of you have already fulfilled the day's challenge because you've brought food here for us to distribute today. However, we want you to help us fulfill it in a different way. We want you to help us give it out. We are set up in the venue just like it's set up for Blessings in a Backpack. It would literally take, if 70 people go down and grab a bag to pack it, there's a certain way to do it, you will have a bag of food packed in 6 or 7 minutes. We'll do all of them. It will not take long. And then we have it divided out. There's one particular apartment complex here in our city over near our Cahill Community Center that we are going to be a blessing to. They have 72 apartment units there. So we're going to pack 75 bags, a couple of extras that are being used somewhere else. And we're going to ask if you and your family would take 4 of those bags. Each apartment building, there's 4 on the bottom, 4 on the top. All you're doing is you're going to hit 4 on one level, or if you can climb the stairs, 4 on the next level. That's all you're going to do. Knock on the door. If no one's there, leave the bag. If they are there, just say, our church is giving away groceries today. We want you to know God loves you. How can we pray for you? It's just that simple. It's an act of generosity. Now, if you're saying, Chris, I don't have time, be generous with your time. It's 11:16. I can promise you we can do everything we're going to do to pack those bags and you get them delivered and be done before 12. And First Methodist doesn't let out to 12. You'll still beat the Methodist to lunch. So I'm telling you, you can do this. Just be generous with a few minutes of your time. You say, I don't know if my kids, I've got kids. Listen, the best thing in the world you can do is let your kids see you serve and serve with you. You say, well, Chris, I'm too old. I can't do that. You can pack a bag down here. If you can't walk to those steps, that's okay. We'll handle it. But we need multiple people to help us for just a little bit today to do that. The second thing is this. We're going to have an act of generosity this morning. Now, we've already taken the offering, so you may be like me. You may not normally have cash on you. I very rarely do. I knew I was going to do this today, so I have a little on me. But for the most part, if you don't, there's another way you can be a blessing. You'll notice down here on the floor, our offering boxes. There's a little box here, a wooden box here, and one over here. We're going to have a special time during the invitation while we're singing and people are responding. You can come and unite with the church. You can make a decision for Christ. But while that's happening, we also want to encourage different ones of you to be generous. And if you don't have money on you, maybe you'll just write an IOU. Take one of those registrations out of the back and say, I'm bringing $20 tomorrow or I'm bringing $50 tomorrow. And put your name and just stick it in there. That'll work. That's fine. But here's who we're going to give to. I prayed about how we might as a church be generous. And I felt specifically led, and then I had a conversation with him Friday that really helped me with this. One of our missionaries is Buff McNichol. We've been praying for Buff as he and his wife Sissy serve in Atlantic City, New Jersey. They've been one of our longest partnerships we've had since we started Advance 2020. They were doing an incredible job, and a little over a year ago, Buff ended up with a pretty rare form of cancer that started in his sinuses, and that he's had a rough year of chemotherapy. And then that ended in May, and then he's begun treatments with radiation that has caused him to have some very specific reactions where his body just locks up, his muscles don't work. He has had a rough, rough go this summer. And the truth is, he's down. They've elected here just last week to stop the radiation treatments. He just can't handle them physically. And so they're still praying for God to continue to do a great work, and he'll recover from that, but no more of that treatment. But he's just, their medical bills have piled up. Some of their partnerships have died because they have a normal ending time. So support's gotten tight. Church, you know, when you're starting a new church, the faithful folks will stick with you, but a lot of folks who are so new in their faith, he's had a year of not being able to do a lot of ministry, and so their numbers are basically back down to about where they started their first year. That can be depressing and difficult. The scripture's clear that we should encourage a brother. The scripture's clear that we should support a brother. So whether we take up $1,000 today or $5,000 today, that's not the important part. It's this. Let's be a blessing to Buff, to let him know we're still with him. We're still praying for him. We're still behind what's happening for them. We want the kingdom of God to succeed in Atlantic City, New Jersey, and we know that Buff is a part of that, and Sissy, and while he is down, we want to care for them as much as we can and for their children. Sissy's got a different job, working some different hours, trying to help, but things are just tight. So if you want to give, You can give cash in one of those boxes. If you're going to write a check, if you'll make it out to the church, that's all you have to do. As long as it's in this box, it won't get confused with the general offering. Because we're going to do this separately, okay? If you want to put an IOU, please do so. So the invitation is this, to live an act of generosity right now. As we sing, take my life and let it be. Take my silver and my gold, as the song says. Take my life and let it be. Consecrated, Lord, to thee. The invitation is multifaceted. Number one, you can come and place a gift here. And then go back to your seat and keep singing. Number two, if you want to unite with our church, I'll be right here. You want to make another decision. You want to give your life to Christ, I'll be right here. You come. And then as soon as we're done in a few minutes, we'll dismiss and quickly go to the venue, pack those bags, and head out. Won't take long at all. So, a lot happening. See, an invitation is a lot more than just singing a song. We're inviting people to a life of ministry right now. So would you pray with me? Father God, in this moment, my prayer is twofold. Number one, that you'll work in the hearts of your people. Lord, may this simple act of generosity today, these two acts of giving food to someone in need and providing resources for a fellow missionary, a family member in need, Lord, that these two acts of generosity will work in our hearts. Where your treasure is, your heart will follow. Father, that this act of time and this act of giving of our resources will help each of us to have leave here with more of a heart to follow you, to be about your kingdom for the world. Thank you for the generous people in this room who give faithfully. But Father, my prayer is that others in here that have not experienced the blessing of giving to kingdom work around the world and locally, that they would realize how important it is to live a life of radical generosity. God, make us more like you. Lord, if there are decisions to be made today, may people follow through on that as you're directing. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing. You come as God directs.